So it is 6:30. We'll maybe give another 2 minutes or so. Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, that's
good. Jonathan's here.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. So we are just missing Chuck and Fatima.
Chuck's here.
I'm here.
Chuck's here. Just
cut up, ma'am. Cut off your screen. Yeah. How's it going?
Sorry.
Hi, Chuck.
I'm on my phone, and so I have to scroll. Okay, it's weird. Okay, so we're just missing Fatima. Maybe one more minute, and then we'll kick it off.
So you don't need her half one, you want her half one.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our October 13th CEC meeting. Welcome to everyone, one and all.
Yeah,
thanks for being here this rainy day, or at least rainy morning. Hope the commute wasn't too bad for everybody. We're going to commence our meeting. It is now 6:32 p.m. And this is a meeting hosted by CEC 30 and co-presidents, our co-president Deborah Alexander and myself, Robert Cruz, and our CEC administrative assistant, Gail Cohen. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here again. This meeting is called, as I mentioned, by CEC 30. We have Spanish interpreters here working on a separate line. Thank you to them for being here with us and providing the important service to our Spanish-speaking families. I would ask all participants to please speak slowly to allow the interpreters to keep up. The interpreters will now announce instructions in Spanish for attendees who may wish to dial into the Spanish line at this time.
Goodness. Okay, well, the following message will be made in Spanish. Sí, muy buenas tardes. Nosotros somos los intérpretes en español. Si usted desea escuchar esta reunión en español, lo puede hacer marcando al número 1347-966-4114 e introducir el número de conferencia 223-666-980, signo numeral. Le repito, el número es el 1347-966-4114 y introducir el número de identificación que es el 223-666-980, signo numeral. ¿No? Al parecer el número de identificación no ha sido cambiado al 168-793-4. Signo numeral. Se lo repito, el número es el 347-966-4114 y el número de conferencia es el 168-7934, signo numeral. Muchas gracias.
Y gracias a usted. Thank you very much for all of the service that you do for us every month. This is a public meeting and is being recorded. Please mute your microphones whenever you are not speaking. There will be one public comment session which will follow the superintendent's report. You may speak on any education-related topic. Comments will be limited to 2 minutes. You will be given a 15-second warning before your microphone will be muted. We apologize for the abruptness, but would like to hear from as many speakers as possible. First, we will take comments from participants who have joined via computer in the Zoom room. Please press the hand icon to raise your hand. This can be found by clicking on participants at the bottom of your screen. We will call on those speakers in the order in which they raise their hands and manually unmute their microphones. When your name is called, please give us your name and what school your child or children attend. While this is a public meeting and anyone may speak, we are first and foremost interested in the thoughts of the parents and students of District 30. Please comments will be the superintendent. And we will take comments called in by unmute your line to allow you to say yes or no if you would like to say something. If you do not want to speak, please state, if you do want to speak, please state your name and where your child or children attend school. Third, we will take comments from participants who have been called in, who are called in from interpretation. I will now call the meeting to order. It is 6:36 p.m. Shannon, if you would please state the call roll.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Ms. Deborah Alexander. Mr. Roberto Cruz.
Present.
Mr. Jonathan Greenberg.
Present.
Ms. Katrina Harris.
Present.
Ms. Fatima Lakari.
Present.
Shannon Lee, myself, present. Ms. Amina Mazina.
Uh-huh.
Ms. Danny Marr.
Present.
Thank you. Ms. Nula Odorchi. And Mr. Chuck Park.
Present.
Thank you. And Mr. Scott Sharon.
I don't believe Scott's here yet, but we'll find out what's in a few minutes what's going on. Our first order of business today, thank you, Shannon, by the way. Our first order of business is the superintendent's report. We're going to dive right in. So Dr. Composto, you have the floor. You have to unmute, Dr. C.
I'm trying. It's technology. Okay, good evening. Thank you so much. Glad to see all of you here this evening. So a few pieces. I just wanted to go through some of the things, the attachments. So I've given all of you the New York State elementary and intermediate testing schedule. As you can see, the New York State is planning to give our young people the ELA math and science exam. They have also said they're not 100% sure how this will be taken, whether it will be remote, will be in person, or will it not, you know, not take place. But they do have the schedule out, and I just want to make sure that everybody had a chance to see that. In addition, I wanted to talk a little bit about the color coding for schools' closures. I'm sure all of you know the red, orange, and yellow school closures, and our schools in the Jackson Heights area are in the yellow, which is PS69, PS92, IS145, PS148, PS149, PS212, PS222, IS227, PS228, IS230, PS280, and PS398. So all of those schools are yellow, which is just caution. So we are really paying close attention. We're making sure we're doing as much social distancing as we can, washing of hands, making sure our young people are wearing their mask. So then going on to that piece there, with all that's going on, I do want to take a moment and talk about our district goals, our educational goals, because they are still in place. We are safety and health is always our first piece, but we are here to educate, and we are now on into October 13th. So as we move along, I want you to know that we are still taking care of our children every day. For the first half hour, we are doing social emotional learning, just giving the children a little space for them to share their feelings and what's going on in their life. We are presently now deciding to do some assessment in ELA math and science as well. So these goals were identified as an area of need for parents in the school community by using benchmark data and observations during school visits. The goals align to the Chancellor's priorities, which are accelerating learning, instruction, developing people and partners with communities, all within a supportive, culturally responsible environment that serves an advanced Equity Now agenda. So one of the pieces that we are moving forward with is the our GAP plan, where each and every child will be assessed. We're gonna find out where they are in ELA and math, and we're gonna do a plan for them to catch up. This, besides the gap that we had, we now have this COVID gap. Today, I'm happy to say that the principals met today and we read an article about the COVID gap and we shared strategies on how to help our children catch up and to get where they need to be. I also wanted to, the attachment, you guys had asked me several questions last month, and I do want to address them. So basically, you asked about the computers. So I gave you a list of all of our schools and the computers that they needed. So now we all have to work together on getting this money. You know, we have to figure out whether we're writing grants, we're going to see, to talk to our local politicians, whatever we need to do to get these computers back in our school, because we really are lacking in technology, unfortunately.
Also, can I ask you a question about those? It's Nula. It said on IS-145 that 800 computers waiting there. Is that a typo?
What do you mean waiting there? I didn't see. What do you mean by waiting there? Where you?
If you look at the IS-145 on your handout.
Yes, I got to go there. Okay. And what do you see there? I don't. Here it is. Yes. So 800.
The fourth column has 800 and the third column has 800. I'm wondering if that's a typo.
Yeah, it looks like a typo. Well, I would say they need 800 laptops needed because they have 1,600 children. So I think that's a fair statement that they need 800. You have to understand what we did in March. We gave away all of our equipment. That's what we did. And the chancellor has now come back and asked all of our principals to sign an attestation saying that you have no more computers. They cannot order another computer for an adult, for a student, unless they sign this attestation saying they have no computers. So once they have given out whatever computers they do have left in these schools, but we are bare bones, we then have the principal signs the attestation, sends it into downtown, and we order the computers for our parents, but that's the only way. So yes, I definitely know that they are missing 800.
That would suggest, Dr. Composto, that 100% of the students at that school are going to require laptops. If they already distributed 800 and there's 1,600 students in the school, they want 100% of their students to have laptops.
Right. So what we've done
is that any
kind of laptop or iPad we have. The only things that we remained in our school were these labs. Like if a school, not many school have labs. Many of them were carts, and you go into the schools, the carts are empty. We gave them out to our young people. Now, some equipment is coming back to us. You know, children, parents have brought equipment back, but we're giving it right out. We are trying at this point to make sure that every kid has a device in their hands. That's our goal. So we are still giving away equipment. But, you know, Lula, I will check out the numbers. I hear what you're saying. I will check that out.
It seems off compared to all the other schools. And I think it's just that the 800's in the wrong column.
I think so, too, but I'll check it out. So we talked a little bit about it. The mechanism to provide funds to purchase technology for students, and it's just as I said, the principals took on the responsibility of doing this attestation, saying that they've given away all their computers, and then we are getting one computer at a time to give out to the children that need it. But we really still need computers in our schools. Don't forget, we had a cart in every classroom. We have smart boards in every room, so we need to rebuild our technology again. If the school does not have device, the principal assigned a point person to hand out the pieces. If a parent purchases a technology, can they get the DOE configuration to limit access? So I've been told yes. They can go on the info hub and technology support for families. I've also spoken to the in the borough office, and he said he would work with us as well with that piece if anybody needs that help. Can the DOE provide privacy training for families? We certainly can. Let me know when you want to do this and where, and we'll get it done. What schools are using outdoor space and how are they being used? So it's sort of interesting. We have many schools. I looked at this list. It's short of short, but we have other schools that are using schoolyards in parks. So basically, we walked 34th Avenue. Principals were not comfortable, and neither was I. Different things were there. You know, first of all, there's a lot of people walking on these avenues, which is a great thing. But we're putting our children there. It's scary when children are mixing with adults and when they're walking by. We are concerned about, when I was there, we had a delivery truck, move the horse to go and deliver. We have seen homeless people. So they are using it very sparingly. If they go out, it's one class at a time, and they're really paying attention to what's going on. We had a situation at 329 where they closed down the entire block, which was wonderful, until some man crashed through the barricade you know, which was quite frightening. Nobody got hurt, but it was something that happened. 148 went to use their, applied to use their park, but their SLT is sort of at a stall because one evening there was a shooting in the park and parents are concerned about it. So they're still talking about ways they can make sure our children are safe. 29 cents. Okay, so that. Okay, that takes us to that. Learning Bridges. Oh, that's a great thing that happened. So Learning Bridges is a program where we're just starting. Actually, we started in many schools. What it is about is, so if your child is in having in-person instruction on the day that he or she is not in person, they can go to one of these Learning Bridges programs. So it's for remote blended learning children. So the days that they are not in school, they have the opportunity to go to the CBO. And we've just increased our schools. I'll share with you some of the schools that we've had. And these schools are all up and running. I spoke to the principals today. They're enjoying it. The kids are having a good time and parents are happy. So IS-10 is with the Sunnyside Community Service. PSIS 111 and PS76 are also with Jacob Reese. IS-126 and PS17 are with the Variety Boys and Girls Club, which, by the way, the elementary school part is full. There's some spaces left for our middle school youngsters. PS-166 is partnered with the New York City Parks. PS-171 is partnered with Hannock. PS-361 is Woodside on the Move. PS-70, it has the Sunnyside Community Service as well. PS-151, the Sunnyside Community Service as well. PS-234 has the Variety Boys and Girls Club. And we just heard on October 12th, which is yesterday, that PS-78, PS-112, IS-141, IS-204, and PS-384 will also be partnered with a community-based organization for this learning partner. So it's a good opportunity for our children and families. At this point, we're happy.
Dr. Composto?
Yes.
I don't have an answer to the problem, but we still have the problem that there aren't any community-based organizations in the Bridges program on the east side of the BQE. So nothing in Jackson Heights, East Elmhurst, Corona. I know I've been looking for spaces as well, but clearly we've got some in Woodside, Long Island City, and Astoria, but nothing on the other side of the district.
Right. So I did request it, as you know, Nula, and we spoke about if anybody has a site, a community-based organization, we'll try to hook them up, you know? Is Hannock on that side too? I thought Hannock was on that side of the district as well.
Nope.
No. Do any of those community-based organizations that I mentioned on that side of the district?
Nope.
No. So let's talk about it offline. We can certainly do something. You know that I've already escalated to FACE to see what they could do. And it was interesting when they came back, it was more of the Woodside, Sunnyside, Astoria area. But I'm happy for that area too. But you're right. We need to take care of the other side of the district as well. And we will talk about that. Okay. So, you know, that time is coming for our parents to change for their learning preference remote. I want to just call out those dates. I know I have them here somewhere. There you go. So just parents should know between October 26th and the 30th, that's their opportunity to go from blended learning from remote into live. So they have them from the 26th to the 30th to fill out an application. The school gets the following week. And then on November 16th, it begins quarter two. So if any parents want to go from remote back into live, this is their opportunity. Please let them know that. We talked about data health screening questions. So do know that the health screening questions have changed a little bit. The first question, have you experienced any symptoms of COVID-19, including a fever of 100 degrees Fahrenheit or greater, a new cough, new loss of taste or smell, or shortness of breath within the past 10 days? If the answer is no, go to the next question. So that question changed a little bit. It became more detailed. It just said, did you have symptoms of COVID-19? Now it's naming some of the symptoms for the children and the adults. guidance on students wearing face masks. We are still trying the very best. We are not penalizing children. We're allowing them breaks. We give them the opportunity to either, you know, go into a corner to breathe a little bit. On the buses, though, we are asking them to keep their mask on. We are definitely asking our children to make sure they keep their mask on the buses to ensure that there is a little safety going on there. We've opened up the windows as well. Of course, so you can have a medical accommodation for not wearing a mask. And we have a, we're doing like some kind of social emotional with kids, just talking to them about how it feels that, you know, we're all a little bit uncomfortable, and that's why we're letting them know they can take a breather with the mask and go to a corner or go to a spot. The isolation room, I just wanted to talk a little bit about that because there was some concern about who's going to man that. So all the unions have gotten together, and it could be a staff from the UFT, it could be DC 37, it could be the CSA. Anyone can man that room. Principals are asking for volunteers. We are okay. All of our rooms are manned with different people. So formal identification process of English language learners. Due to the fact of all of this COVID, the state has given us a little breathing room in doing that. So students who enroll between March 2nd and October 15th, they must be identified and placed by October 29th. Students who enroll after October 15th must be identified and placed within the standard 10 school days. So we got a little bit of a breather because it's very hard to do this, especially when children are not with you and being able to assess and talk with them. So the iPad devices and inventory, we spoke a little bit about that already. So you know that the principals have to do this attestation, then the parent comes in and they have the opportunity then to tell us they want a device, we fill it out, and I'm not gonna candy coat this. Sometimes it takes 3 to 4 weeks for these pieces to come in. We have many parents who are waiting for these pieces and of equipment to come in, but they are coming in. They are definitely coming in. I've seen them myself. It's slow, and they prioritize, you know, the shelters, the different housing spots, things like that. There is a priority, and then but all people will, all children will have them eventually. So there's a protocol for parent requests for escalation of assistance in an open complaint investigation. That's basically about family support coordinator will continue to serve as an escalation assistance staff who are designated to coordinate the completion of an open investigation of a complaint, allegation, student-to-student discrimination, harassment, intimidation, or bullying. So this is about student-to-student. Lots of times parents want us to follow up, and we do follow up, and we even give them a letter saying what we discovered and what was the situation and what happened with that. Immunization requirements for the 2021 school year. In accordance with the New York State public health law, all students attending school, including students attending remotely, must fully vaccinate against specific preventable diseases identified in the 2021 school immunization requirements. All children 6 to 59 months of age who are enrolled in a New York City Article 47 or 43, which is basically an early childhood center, must receive one dose of influenza vaccine between July 1st and December 31st of every year. For students who are not in compliance, warning letters to family will be sent immediately, and at the latest by October 9th, notifying families that they have 14 days to comply with immunization requirements or provide proof of scheduled vaccine. Exclusion letters will be sent the 13th day after the student has been notified to bring in their vaccination papers. You know, we began this random COVID testing. We started it last Friday. IS-230 was the first. So this is what they do. They come into our building and they get a room. They have a list and they start with students who parents have agreed. So that what they do is they go and they look up who has a consent form. They bring the children down. You know, if the children, you know, become frightened or they just don't want to do it, they're not forcing children to do this. We've also opened it up to staff. A lot of staff have been going down now, like as they go from school to school. And I'll give you a couple of schools in a second. They've asked our staff if they wanted to be tested. I was tested. I think it's a convenience. It's right there for us. So On Friday the 9th, IS-230 went. PS-212 went today on the 13th. That was the same idea. PS-2 is going on the 15th and PS-398. We're not allowed to tell everybody when these things are taking place. I don't know why, but they don't want us to do that. We can tell you later on what happened, but at this point, we're not sharing that information in advance. And take last, but certainly not least, take home meals for students learning remotely. So students, two things happen here. Students can go to their home school, or say they take a bus to a school for whatever reason. They can then go to the school nearest to their home, and because the bus is not going to be picking them up and dropping them off for lunch and breakfast, but they can go to the nearest school and identify themselves as a New York City student, and they will have the opportunity to pick up a breakfast or a lunch. And that brings me to the end of my report. Questions?
Thank you, Dr. Pasto. I had a quick question.
Sure.
That the little breather that they're allowing for kids, you know, we want to be sensitive, but are the parameters established? Is that for a finite period of time? Is it open-ended?
No, it's for a finite period of time, and we sort of ask them, we put them like by the window and all, to just to stand by, you know, we sort of by themselves, they stand for a second, you know, take the mask off. I'll tell you though, the kids have been great. I have to be fair to those little guys. I go around and visit classrooms. They're like troopers. They're resilient. They're resilient. I have to be very honest. They've been good.
Is it thinking more for some of our younger kids, students, or across the board, older and younger?
Across the board. I understand high school too. It's difficult with the kids with these masks.
Before we'll open up to the council, but any, you know, we had the first transition into remote learning for some schools. Any glows and grows you want to share with us on what happened on some of the other schools, if you know of anything?
So we're up and running. Do we have all the teachers we need? I'm never going to lie to you. No. We have such wonderful programs here. We have this dual language program. We have this gifted and talented program. We have a huge L program that includes bilingual, ESL, all kinds of dual languages a part of that. We have a huge special ed. So all of these youngsters require teachers with licenses. So a school normally has one per 30 children, but now we need one for in-person learning, blended remote learning, and remote learning. So we are working furiously. They came out with this new MOA, which allowed teachers and principals to work together to manipulate time. So for example, they get that 30 minutes in the morning, they get 30 minutes in the evening, 35, and they get 20 minutes office hours. So if we combine them and put them at the end of the day, they can leave early. Now, they still are responsible to do their office hours and work from home. With that being said, they're working on these SBOs, school-based options, which basically is an agreement saying that the teacher, that homeroom teacher, will be responsible for all 30 children, not only the 3 to 7 that show up for live, but for all the children, which would mean then that they would work with them asynchronously and synchronously each and every day. So that's where we are with that piece.
Very good. Deb, council members, do you have any questions for Dr. Pasto based on a report or anything else? Now's your time.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I heard you, Dr. Pasto, mentioning that if kids, they refuse to be tested, so they will not get tested. Is that what it is?
Well, not that their parent consented to it, but I know one youngster in one of the schools started to get up really upset and started to cry. So we just called the parent up and say, listen, you know, he's upset. He doesn't want to do it. Are you okay? She said, okay, maybe next time then. So that's what I mean, that the parent consent. We don't pick any children. That's how the children are selected. Those who all those parents who completed the consent form, those are the children that are being selected.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So Dr. Composto, there have been some media reports I wanted to hear from you that from the initial testing they did in the schools, that is it true they only found one student that was positive?
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. We have gotten many, 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 Scott's not here, but he even called me the other day. We get all these letters and I'm sending them to you, right? And they all, if you look carefully, they say possible, possible, possible. Very few have come back that have said they're positive. I think one or two. So we've been okay. We have not had more than one child in a school. No, that's not even in a 2-week period. So we've been pretty good so far.
No, I'm asking specifically about the results from the randomized testing done by the DOE of students.
Oh, I don't know that.
They reported in the media today that of all the tests that they've done, there has been one positive.
Well, I'm not privy to that information. I have to be fair. I'll inquire. I don't know if I'll get it, but I will inquire if they can tell us. I know one of the principals said that to me. He said it was good. They got their results back in 2 days, and everybody was okay in the building, children and staff. But I don't know. I'll ask and see if they can give us that information. Everything is, has to do with legal, but I'll find out. Let me write that down. Any else?
I have one more. If we could get an update on, we know that construction is going to resume on some of our pending schools. Have they given us an update on completion time?
Well, I know that 234, they said, is on schedule, and PS2 is on schedule to be finished. Those two I know I got an email about.
And I know this is outside your bailiwick, but can we get an update on the high school on Northern Boulevard? Because that's now as a COVID testing site. The construction. The new high school is supposed to be what used to be the Modells, I think, or Sports Authority on Northern Boulevard.
Oh, and so we don't. What's your question? Where are they with the building of it?
Right. Has that been stopped, slowed?
Nick, could you give me a pen, please? Okay. Yeah. I got to write this stuff down.
My understanding is it's been, it's not that, along with the Skillman Avenue middle school and my understanding is the projects that are no longer going forward at the moment are the high school, PS85's addition, and and the Skillman Avenue middle school. Those are the three that are currently still stalled.
And why is the Skillman Avenue middle school?
It stopped with COVID, just like everything else. A couple of them restarted, like in Long Island City and PS2, but it did not, the others did not resume. No answer why.
That middle school is cursed.
Yeah.
I have a question and a comment. The question is about the NICETEL test that you're talking about, you're testing for language.
Yeah.
And it said that if a student is going remote, they can pause the L identification process, and then it can be resumed when the student goes back into blended or in-person learning.
Right.
That made me wonder, are they doing the L identification process for all remote learners?
So the state gave us a little reprieve. They're trying to figure it out, what's the right thing to do. It's very difficult to do that kind of a test remotely, you know what I mean, to get an accurate piece. So we're better off doing that in live. So the state right now put it on a hold for us till they figure this out. So if the students are live and we get a chance to see them, we've been doing it. In some schools, the remote parents have been willing to bring the children in, and we've been working with them that way as well.
I see. Okay. But potentially, there are all remote kids whose parents are not willing to bring them in, who
Correct.
Are not being identified.
Right. That's a fair statement.
Okay. And the comment was just about the 34th Avenue open street. My impression from all of the announcements was that schools applying to use outdoor space, it was being done by the DOE and the DOT, and that the street would be closed off. So it wouldn't be like 34th Avenue is now, where somebody can just remove the barrier and there's cars that are parking there and moving.
Right. Well, we had all those
closed.
Right. Well, we had all those schools on 34th Avenue. That's why we spoke about that. But I'll go back to 329, where the car went through the barrier. The problem with that, I said to the principal, maybe the next time parents or teachers will park their cars there. That's a concern piece for me, that we have children in the street, and some man decided that he was just didn't want to go around a turn, make a U-turn. He literally broke the barrier, ran right through it. Of course, we got the plate number. We called the police and did all that stuff. But it's still alarming to the families there that the children were coming in. They were not, you know, they weren't in the street. They were just coming in, and where everybody was okay. But still, that something like that could happen is alarming.
No, I understand that. I just think that walking along 34th Avenue the way it is not what it would be if we really closed it off and removed all of the cars and said to people, this is being used for school today, not for the public. I mean, which is what the, you know, that's what I, the impression that I got from the.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you. So listen, we can revisit it again in the, when the weather gets warm. I think it's a moot situation now as it's getting cold and well, when the weather gets warm. I mean, a lot of them are using their school yards and using different pieces. You know, we have even a lot of classrooms that, remember, we don't have many children in them. You know, you have 6 or 7 children. So we've been using the classrooms to do all kinds of exercise for the kids. But doesn't mean it's off the table. We will certainly revisit it. As long as school leadership teams and parents want this, we can do it. But we did not find a lot of parents saying they wanted their kids out there.
Thanks.
Hey, Dr. Capasto. Thanks again for the report. Quick question, return to random COVID testing in schools. Do you have a sense of how many parents, what proportion of parents have opted in, have completed that consent form, returned it? I just want a good sense of like whether or not the absence of positive tests is like a reliable kind of indicator that the school is relatively safe. Yeah.
I know that each and every one of these schools, when we did it, I got an email from Central saying to me, can you beef it up? We don't have enough parents who signed up for it. So we really don't have a lot. I don't have the numbers, but I think by that statement, and each and every one of those schools, I got an email, can you please, you know, speak to parents? So, and looking at the blogs, everybody has a different feeling about this. So I'm going to say the number is low.
Have you heard a lot of blowback from parents who are resistant? You know,
no,
have
you heard, no.
Okay.
No, not at all. The parents who signed up are okay. They, like even that young, the mom who won with the young man was crying. She said, I can come if you want. You know, she was willing to come if she wanted to and, you know, help him take the test. It's just got, it's a little scary, you know, for the little guys.
Okay. Thank you, doctor.
You're welcome.
Is there, going off of what Chuck said, is there talk of when it happens for those of us who don't sign the consent form of going to remote? So there's like for the working parents, so we have enough notice?
I don't know. You know, that's sort of been put on the back burner.
It's a weird thread. It's kind of like I'm on both sides and I understand both choices and I don't think there's shame on either one. But for some of us who don't want to sign or not comfortable with not doing it without
So like I said, the numbers are very low. They have not asked us to do anything, you know, and also staff too. You know, not every staff is doing it. And they said the same thing for staff. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how this plays out.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other council members with questions or comments for Dr. Cabasa? We have a couple of participants in our waiting room. Of course, council members, you could always chime in again a little bit later. First, he's had his virtual hand up for a long time. And I'm going to enjoy actually saying this, Mr. George Hatch Constantinou. If you can't, are you there, George?
Yeah, I'm here.
Just say your name and for the record and what school your child attends.
I think I'm waiting for the public comment section.
That's now. You can join.
Oh, is it? Okay. So I spoke with Ms. Cohen earlier today. I'm actually from the Queens Chamber of Commerce.
Okay. Welcome.
She said I would be able to quickly address everybody who's speaking tonight because we just started a new program. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So once again, my name is George Hadji Constantinou. I'm a business recovery specialist with the Queens Chamber of Commerce. We've started a new program for small businesses and nonprofits in Queens. Basically, we all know the pandemic has brought great harm to our communities, and many of our neighbors have been sadly infected by this virus, and some cases sadly passed away, and many people's livelihoods have also been threatened. That's why we've started this initiative called the New York City Small Business Resource Network, which is offering small businesses and nonprofits resources to help them deal with the challenges posed by the COVID-19 pandemic. We have many resources ranging from business strategy, grants, and low interest loans to marketing, technology, procurement, and legal assistance. One of our business recovery specialists would be happy to meet with the business owner to find out what their greatest business needs are, and we'll provide you with options that you can pursue to make your business stronger. To seek a consultation, you can go to www.nycsmallbusinessresourcenetwork.org, click the sign up button, and fill out two short surveys. Am I able to post the URL in the chat?
I think you can. Okay. So just post it in chat and we'll go from there.
All right. Alternatively, you can reach out to me by calling me at area code 917-815-8970 or emailing me at ghadji@queenschamber.org. And we have many translation services. For example, I speak Greek. We also have Spanish speakers, Bengali speakers, Mandarin speakers, Cantonese speakers, and several other languages. Or several other staffers who can translate other languages. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me in the, I guess, in the chat or via calling or emailing. Thank you.
Thank you, George.
I hope you have a great day, evening.
Likewise. So long. Next, we have a Miss Robin Forst. Are you there, Robin?
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, Robin. Yes, state your name, please, and the school where your child attends.
I'm Robin Forst. I'm finance director for Councilmember Daniel Drum. And I just wanted to ask a follow-up question to Dr. Composto about...
Robin?
Did I miss that? I'm sorry.
We have an issue. Robin, where'd you go? Robin, you were cut off a little bit. Can you repeat that, please?
Sure. I was wondering what the landscape looks like in terms of technology for students. I know you have a process for affirming whether or not students have technology, but do you have a sense of what percentage of the students or the number of students that are still in need of the appropriate technology?
I couldn't give you a number. I really don't have one. We're trying to put a handle on it, actually. We sent out a survey. The other piece for us is not only the devices, but for parents to get the Wi-Fi on here, you know? Right. When we did this in March, they paid for, one of the companies was able, you know, paid for the Wi-Fi. No one's paying for it now. So what we've done is put some hotspots in our schools so they can come to our school, any of our schools, and we'll give them the code. And then they'll use that code to get in. In addition, when we're ordering these, if we know the parent tells us that they don't have money for internet, we try to get them a device with the hotspot on it, so that's where they can at least, you know, pick it up somewhere else. So that seems to be a big problem too, the fact that a lot of people don't have the Wi-Fi and the devices. I think we're okay. What I'm always worried about is when now they're in school, and we don't have any computers in school. So we need to refurbish, you know, our schools need computers too. We need to have our children have computers in school and of course in home learning. So it's a big piece for both, but I don't have a percent. I don't know.
Okay. No, I appreciate it. I was just curious because I know it's been a big issue since everything went remote. Now that it's a mix and match, you know, the challenges are more difficult. I was just curious to have a sense. Thank you and great work.
Thank you.
Yeah, really great. Thank you.
So Dr. Composto, just to jump in, I know that the Legal Aid Society has actually got a pending, filing a lawsuit against the city, specifically for homeless students, I think, saying that they have a right to internet access and that they have to provide that. So it's an ongoing issue.
Yes, it is. And it's a battle, you know, but you know, we're doing it one child at a time. I was talking, we had a principal's meeting today. I'm so proud of them. They've been going to these shelters and working with social workers and making sure that they get the, because they also have hotspots in these, you know, in these shelters. They don't give it out to the people, but if you go there and you say you're, you know, an educator, and you need this for the kids, they do give it to our children. So I've been working with that too. We had a meeting today and people were sharing. I was really thrilled to say that almost every principal said the same thing, that they have a connection in the shelter, whether the parent coordinator, a social worker, a counselor, somebody is connected, so that even when the kids, it's hard also to get the kids up. You know, we might have an 8 o'clock class where they'll call this person and they'll knock on the door and get the kid up and get them going, hook them up with, you know, hook them up with a computer and get them learning. So that's a good piece for us, because this is how the gap grows when children don't come to school.
Can I just add to that, that I just want to reinforce that we really do need better internet connection across our district and across the city. And that I really would implore the council member to see what he can do on the council to really broaden high-speed internet access. We had a resolution the CEC did last month that if the council member hasn't seen it, we'd be happy to share it with him. But I think that is something that the city council could do that would make a really big difference for our students.
Ms. Forrest, if you want to put your contact information in the chat, I'm going to unmute you again. Hold on.
Hi. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think this is a problem that extends beyond our council district. And I think it's very important. I'll send you my contact information in the chat. Please let me know. You know, the council member used to chair the education committee. He's a former teacher. And anything that we can do to facilitate the improvement of learning in this very tough time is something we would like to do. So I thank you for your comment, Jonathan, and let's see if we can be helpful.
Thank you, Ms. Forrest. I'm going to jump into the question and answer section. Looks like we have some questions that have been adding up. From Gio, is there a Learning Bridge organization paired with PS122?
No.
No, there's not, Gio.
No.
I think you covered this. Well, when will there be information forthcoming about high school and middle school application processes to school this year? What is under consideration? I think there was an if to that question.
So I understand. I missed the meeting this morning because I was at another meeting, but I believe we were told that they're waiting for guidance to changing the dates for, I saw an email that the dates that are in place are not the dates we're using. We are waiting for guidance on the new dates.
My what I have heard too is hopeful from our guidance counselor is that we should be having something, they said mid to late October. So I'm expecting something hopefully this week, guidance. The My Schools, if you look at the My Schools website as closely as I do, you'll notice that it's slowly but surely changing. They're adding more information. So I do expect something soon. When that is anybody's guess. Hopefully this week or next week.
Thank you, Dan. Can parents pick up grab and go meals for their student? Yes, they can.
Yes.
You want to elaborate? I think we were talking at some point in one of our meetings about like maybe it wasn't so obvious if someone's a family is going to look for food, that maybe it would say like, you know, everyone just go to a certain door or there's like a certain room for it.
So that's what I've seen. So I was at 126 on Friday, I think. And what they did was they had the two containers of food that was already made. The kitchen lady was there. People were just coming up. She wasn't asking them any questions. Some took one, some take two. So I didn't see any, and I stood there for a minute just because I was curious myself if they were asking for ID, and they were allowing children and adults to take the lunch. So at this point, I don't see it being, you know, a problem. So like I said before, if a child takes a bus to school, and of course then it's too far, they can go to the local school and just say, you know, I go to PS so-and-so, I need a lunch. I don't even know if they need to say that. They'll see a child and they'll give it. Or an adult can go and say, you know, I have my son, my daughter at home. I'd like to get a lunch, two lunches, whatever.
Yeah, I think that speaks to
the issue that came forward was to know what door to go to, because as you know, with all these schools, different people enter different doors.
Right, so I would always go to the... Right. So I would always go to the front door and the safety officer there will direct you, because you're right. Different schools are using different doors. 126 had it right in the front door, but I do know a few of the schools are using side doors.
But the question is, could we have them put up a sign, just?
I was just going to say, I see a couple of signs up there, but I'll make sure that they do that. They usually do put the sign up, so this way the parents will know where it is. But I'll make sure I'll mention it again.
And to jump in, they're also doing the community meals from 3 to 5. And the schools that I've seen that have been doing it have been doing a great job in making sure people know about it.
Good. Good to hear.
There's a question that's on this issue that's seconded by Nula, by Fermanagh. Can you clarify to lunch again? We can go to another public school in a district that is closest to us to pick up a school. In other words, can we go to another District 30 school that our child is not enrolled in to pick up lunch during that child's remote learning day?
Yes. If it's closer to their home, they certainly can do that. Yes.
And then it seems like Ms. Forrest had some questions, but I think you covered it already. And for an anonymous attendee, for full remote class, why is the teacher-student ratio has been increasing on a daily basis while blended duration remains low or is decreasing? For example, PS 122, the grade 5 fully remote has 40 students managed by one teacher. Blended has less than 10 students in person and less than 10 remote. Seems to me that families are voting with their feet and going to remote for the time being, but Dr. Composito, do you want to clarify that?
So actually that's exactly what's happening. As you know, I've been sharing the data with you. More and more families are going remote. So as they go to remote, once again, we need more teachers because the agreement is that the teacher is going to work with the children that are live only. So it could be 3 children, it could be 7 children. So where are these other children going? We've been putting them into the remote blended. So this way they're getting some learning too. So yes, the class sizes are a little bit larger and we recognize that. We thank our teachers. But at this point, we are trying to hire more teachers to reduce the load. But it is a problem, I agree.
It seems the chat is disabled, but if anyone wants any of the information from that gentleman from the Chamber of Commerce or from Ms. Forst, it's all in the question and answer portion section, and we'll leave it there for the time being. And there's no other questions. Any other questions from our council members or any other issues to propose before we start looking at the journey? Oh, I have another hand raised. One moment. Okay, Miss Megan Cerrito from Assemblyman Nolan's, Assemblyperson Nolan's office. Megan?
Yes, hey, I'm wearing two hats tonight, one as a parent and one as a staff person, the Assemblywoman. As a parent, I have a question about the substitutes that are being hired. And I know there was a call put out to hire substitutes that may not be even professionally teachers. So I wanted to see how that's impacting District 30 and what the timeline is on those teachers coming into the classroom and into the building.
Right. So I'm not
curiosity. Is your child in a District 30 school or is just in general? Just
sorry. Apartment? Yes. I have two children in a District 30 school, PS 384 and Q 300.
Oh, many thanks. Many thanks. Welcome, Dr. Composito.
So teachers are, when we hire them, we interview them. We have a high standard in District 30. So many of the principals have said to me, they've interviewed people they're not comfortable with. So when I say if they're not going to help our children, we're okay with passing them by. So yes, people are applying for these licenses. You're absolutely right. But I believe that there's a process where they have some kind of a credential that they're getting this. I don't know the piece, but they're coming to us with licensing, but they have no experience. Some of them have no technology experience. Like we're trying to hire teachers for remote or blended remote. And they'll say to us, I don't know anything about technology. You know, or I, like you said, Megan, I haven't been a teacher. It's my first time. So we are being very selective to ensure that we're getting quality teachers because that's what we need right now.
Because that is up
to that's up to the principal as they hire. But then, you know, it's like you're between a rock and a hard place. You know, like we want to reduce those remote numbers. But we got to get the right person, because if I hire somebody who, first of all, is not doesn't have the pedagogy, and then he or she says to us, I don't do computers, we can train them. But I'm going to say it again, we're into October 13th.
Thank you, Dr. Composito. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Russell. There's another question in the chat. Where can we find information on the ELA and math test schedule?
You go on the state website. I got it. Took it right off the state website, New York State Education website. And actually, I'll give it to you guys. I think you posted, right, Deborah? I think Deborah posted this, or Gail, and they can take it off of the website.
But
I got it on the New York State Ed website.
Any other questions or comments? Or else we'll go to the saddest part of our meeting, the time of adjournment. Anybody want to raise anything? Okay, because we went through all of our lists of people who've dialed in and all of our participants who have chimed in with their hands raised virtually. So I'll call for an adjournment. Anyone want to do a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Katrina.
Second.
Thank you, Deb. It is now 7:25 p.m. and we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Do you guys want to take 5 minutes or so? We're doing great on time, and then come back at about 7:30.
Looks that way.
For our business meeting.
Okay. Thank you all for attending, all of our participants. You don't have to attend a business meeting if you don't like it, although you're welcome to. But we're going to take a 5 minute break. We'll see you on the other side of the 5 minute period. Thank you.
All right. See you in 5 minutes.
Thank you, Dr. Pasta.
Okay.
I guess the question for our translators, I believe, I think every once in a while we'll ask whether there are still individuals in need of translation. And if that's the case, you know, I'll check with Gail when she comes back, because I don't think it's necessary all the time to go into the business meeting, but we'll double check that.
Okay, got that.
The link to the ballot is in the
chat. Rob, there are still two parents on for interpretation, okay?
Okay. Okay, thanks for the answer. Thank you very much, Gail. So there's still two people that need help. Thank you very much. Quick meeting. I guess everyone's keeping their powder dry for our October 22nd town hall meeting with the chancellor. I think maybe I think most people are aware of it now, and that's the priority for most parents. We had upwards of 400 questions, about 411 questions submitted. And, you know, some of them are, you know, just cursory, but some are really detailed and really potent. And, you know, it's we have a cross-section of our parent body that is very interested to hear what the chancellor will have to say and is very eager to express their opinion. So we're looking forward to that meeting that we're going to have on October 22nd.
Wait, it's October 22nd or October 30th? Did I get the date wrong?
The town hall is the 22nd. There might be another meeting on the 30th. There probably is, based on the way the calendar works today.
Oh, okay.
Hi, my name is Lisa Yee.
Are you trying to skip our town hall, Danny? I hope not.
I know. What do I have on the 30th? I've made up a meeting.
I thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening. I would like to speak in regard to the resolution to remove Maude Marin as CEO.
Okay, there we are. All right, it's now 7:32. We can do the roll call and see if everyone's present or not. Or we could give another minute. Not everyone has a camera on.
Yeah, it's been, I think it's enough time.
It's been over 5 minutes already. Okay. You're going to run to them or just jump in?
No, keep going. You're doing great.
Okay. Then we will call the business meeting to order. It is now 7:33 p.m. Shannon, if you'd be so kind as to call the roll.
Perfect. Good evening. Ms. Deborah Alexander.
Present.
Mr. Roberto Cruz?
Present.
Mr. Jonathan Greenberg?
Present.
Ms. Katrina Harris?
Present.
Thank you. Ms. Fatima Lacari?
Present.
Ms. Shannon? Present. Ms. Amina Mazina?
Present.
Thank you. Ms. Danny Marr?
Present.
Thank you. Ms. Nula or Dorothy? Sure. And Mr. Chuck Park?
Present.
Thank you. And Mr. Scott Sharon?
He's here, but you're there, Scott? Okay.
Thank you. Good evening.
His proxy, I think, voted for him. I would like to remind everyone that this is a business meeting and we will not be accepting public comments. For regarding the reading and approval of minutes, a motion to dispense with the reading of the minutes from the September 15, 2020 calendar and business meetings and accept them as presented.
Motion.
In favor.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you, Katrina. All in favor, show hands. Virtual or otherwise. Favor dispensing. Okay. Definitely have a quorum. Okay. Thank you very much. Town hall meeting update. We're going to have a question regarding the Arabic interpretation, in that usually the DOE will provide for three translations, and that includes Spanish. And whenever the chancellor is present, he always includes Spanish, and I'm sorry, Chinese, which is disregarded, specified as Mandarin. But then we have a very large Bengali contingent. And we also have a very large Arabic contingent. And there will be a question about whether we can approve funds for Arabic interpretation for October 22nd town hall meeting with the chancellor. But is there a town hall meeting update in specifics? I mean, the preparation has been going, it's on October 22nd. It's at 6:30 p.m. We're going to begin at 6 p.m. just to handle our in-house logistics, making sure all our translations are straight, making sure that everyone's there on time. I think Deb and I, or whoever the council, will answer some of the questions that have come in of that 411, I think it's up to 411.
Yep, 411. And
there's some that we can you know, take care of on our own, but to that extent that we're going to introduce some of the questions that we can answer on our own, we'll do that, so that we can maximize our time with the chancellor, starting at 6:30 on the dot, hopefully, and get through some of the introductions that are always inclusive of it, and jump into our meeting so we could get as much of a dialogue between the parents and our families and the chancellor. And who knows what will happen between now and the next 2 weeks. But it's ready to go on October 22nd.
And we have a run of, I call it a run of show with the Learning Times people on Tuesday that will just go over the technical aspects of it. So Rob and I will do that. Oh, Juliana's got her hand up. Let her talk.
Juliana's our face representative, and she's been helping us, holding our hand every week to get us through this dark time. Juliana, I'm going to unmute you. Where are you? Juliana, are you there? Juliana? Okay, I hear you now. Please tell us all things town hall.
You did. You gave the most important updates. There has been a request to have members log on by 5:30. So just to make sure that your mics are working before the 6 p.m., before everything goes live at 6 p.m. And the council, one of the things that the council will need to decide is how you will handle that 6 to 6:15 time period.
Well, 5:30 sounds like combat pay to me. It's getting earlier and earlier, but you know, we'll have enough to talk about between. Do you need specifics? We can give you specifics on what we'll introduce, but there's more than enough to have a dialogue with our parents and our community before, you know, to get the ball rolling before we speak to the chancellor.
That makes sense. That's perfect to do from 6 to 6:15. The idea at 5:30 would be for all CEC members to test their mics with Learning Times at 5:30 p.m. You wouldn't need to be, you know, sort of ready to get going with anything public at that time, just sort of a tech check on the night of.
Sure. Sounds good. Sounds good to me. Hopefully we can all make it. And then I guess if someone can't make it, just let us know and we'll expedite that process, you know, as soon as they're able to come on for whatever reason, if they can't make it at 5:30. But if most of us can make it, council members, we'll do that just to make sure all of those logistics are taken care of.
Okay.
Katrina, you had a question?
Someone else is getting ready to speak. Was that you, Deb?
Go ahead, Katrina. Go ahead.
Okay, so I have a question. So I heard what Juliana said, but her mic was kind of breaking up. So my question was, technically, she's saying that we need to be signed in on Zoom at 5:30, correct?
She wants to make sure, the people want to make sure that our mics are working so that if there's any troubleshooting that needs to happen, it'll happen between, say, 5:30 and 6. So if we can make it 5:30, I think it's all the better. She's just introducing that to us now, but that's what they're... their best direction is for that afternoon, that evening.
Okay, so when we sign in at 5:30, we most definitely, we might as well just stay on because the meeting is starting at 6 o'clock or 6:30?
The meeting is starting at 6 o'clock, and the chancellor is giving us from 6:30 until 7:30 p.m., and usually that's 6:30 to 7:30 sharp. So it gives us a time to get everyone on board, get the conversation going, get all the translation issues worked out so that when the chancellor does arrive at 6:30, we can maximize our time with him. His time will be literally from 6:30 to 7:30. And very rarely has my team gone past that time frame, as we all know. So I don't expect it to go past 7:30. So instead of starting at 6:30 and, you know, having that introduction happen until 6:40, 6:45, 6:50, that's what that 6:30 period is. And now they're asking us to go start even earlier at 5:30, just so we can have all of that troubleshooting with our microphones worked out before the meeting proper starts at 6 o'clock. And our flyer had to be worked out. It was a lot of back and forth. And we finally have it so that our meeting starts at 6 p.m. with the pronouncement and the caveat that the chancellor will be there at 6:30 p.m.
Okay, great. So I see that I overheard you and Deb say that we have 411 parents questions. When I thought that it was only, because you know, once you reach a 300 capacity, they kick you out. You're not able to sign on. So are we going to be able, are all the parents or whoever's coming to our town hall meeting will be able to hear what the chancellor is saying once it reaches capacity?
Well, I think the way that's going to work out is we're trying to streamline.
We have the capacity. I don't know whether it's 1,000 or whether it's 800 that we have. I forget, but we have plenty.
Oh, the people.
We've got a bigger Zoom for that.
Oh, okay. Yes. For attendees, we're way past that. We're a good space there.
Okay, I was just double checking because I do believe that everybody wants to hear in District 30 what he has to say. So, you know, I just only think that it's fair that everybody get to hear his response to all the questions. So that's pretty much what I wanted to ask. So thank you for the feedback.
Yeah, I heard how the capacity that we have and then the amount of people that the chancellor has been receiving at other town halls, and we were well within that window. I think Juliana had that number, like how many people were attending at his other town halls and some of the other meetings that we've had, and then the capacity that we have is actually much more than we would expect to need.
I just want to say that if council members, you can decide up till the last minute if you want to give a question, just let us know right before. You know, we'll have questions to ask as well as backup questions. You know, we'll have more questions than he has time to give us. So it doesn't matter. Just let us know. I guess I'll give the deadline of the day before. So by the day before, just let Rob and I know if you want to ask a question of the chancellor.
And the good thing about that is if you submit those questions to us, the questions that we're submitting, he's actually going to answer them. If he doesn't have time to answer them during that hour long town hall, he'll answer them in writing. We'll present it to them in writing and he'll answer it at a later date. So if you submit your questions the day before or before the town hall, we'll be able to submit those questions as well. So even if we'll try to get every question in, but even if we can't, we will submit the questions to the chancellor so that he will respond to all of our questions. He won't respond to those 411, but he'll respond to the 15 to 20 that we're asking him.
Could you guys share all the questions? I'd love to kind of sift through and read what the questions look like.
Can we? I think we can. I don't have a.
I mean, I'll talk to Rob about it. I mean, we already went through them and, you know, I categorized them. I don't see why we wouldn't be able to, but let me talk to Rob about it. I mean, we just hadn't planned on it, but I don't see why not.
I mean, if they're in like a spreadsheet, you know, we'd love to see whatever form they came in. So.
Yeah. I don't see why there'd be a problem, but I'll discuss it with Rob.
Okay, first. We'll talk about it. You know, the yeoman's effort of actually going through it and categorizing it, you know, Deb did a fantastic job as she always does. And basically everything she does, but she went through everything and categorized it by different topics. I categorize it by nice question, I agree with it, or pound of flesh, because they're really, you know, some people are really animated by some of the questions by some of the issues that are arising. But, you know, there's some duplications in it, but, you know, I don't mind sharing it, but I'll talk to Deb about it. But, you know, the work that's been done by Deb, I just don't want to, it's already been done. So I appreciate the work that she did in classifying everything. And it was very coherent. So I just wanted to thank Deb about that. And if these questions, you know, will color, I think the positive part of that might be that if it colors your question and your education as far as what you want to ask the chancellor. Okay. We haven't worked out the final wording of our questions though. So we're still
going to
have
this. So just to be clear, this is no, not really, this is not really about what we asked during the town hall. I'm just really curious to know what people asked as,
you know, as constituents,
as our constituents. Really curious to know what they asked, how they asked it, and so forth. So that's, you know, beyond the town hall itself.
What actions they're going to take. Because we can ask for a little bit of everything, but are they going to, they're going to give us what we want?
Okay. So I don't know if, do you want to introduce the topic about the Arabic interpretation? We have interpretations for Mandarin, for Spanish, and Bengali. I think the percentage, we have Bengali included. But then the question is whether we can approve the funding for Arabic interpretation, and it would be $259.04. And it would be part, just part of our budget, but we'd have to approve it as a council. And I think Dr. Compasso was able to find some of the translators, but we just have to approve the payment of them.
Okay, so no, I actually, oh, let me mute this other meeting, I'm sorry.
A better school, make children better children, help
Come on,
teachers.
Okay. I actually, contacted a DOE vendor for interpretation, and can you please be quiet? Thank you. Geneva Worldwide. All right, and they are trained on simultaneous interpretation. They know how to do the platforms. So that's who was suggested. They have worked with our TNI unit in the past. It would be two interpreters going, you know, the way we do it now in the meetings, one goes for 20 minutes, the other goes for 20 minutes back and forth from 6 to 8 p.m. And that's why it's 259.04.
Thank you, Gail. Gail's the one that did all the hard work for that. Thank you very much, Gail.
No worries.
Well, thank you so much, Gail, for your help on this. I really appreciate it.
And I thank you for your help.
Yeah, for, you know, presenting the subject to us, Fatima. Thank you very much for that and for being such a vocal proponent of making sure we could speak to as many of our constituent families as possible. So I don't
well,
know if
I'm glad that everybody has done really good as far as the translators go. And I don't see where there should be a problem. I think all of us as a council should just vote on it because I think it's only fair to have translators for each language. It works out great for me, so I don't see a problem with it. So I'm all for voting for it.
Sure, okay. I will just find a double check what the rule as far as presenting this kind of line item. You know, it's interesting that you know, based on our district, we don't necessarily need, like, you know, they're promoting included the inclusion of a Mandarin translator. And not because we have a great many Mandarin speakers, not that we want to exclude them either, but the fact is, the thinking is that wherever the chancellor goes, they have to allow for a Mandarin translator. So that takes one of our translation capacities off the table. We would probably on our own include Spanish, Bengali, and Arabic. Not that we're, again, we want to include Mandarin, but it's just the nature of the, we saw the percentages in our district, and we all know the people that are active at our PTA meetings, our SLT meetings, we know the parents that are part of the conversation for the most part. But, you know, we have to be responsive to what the chancellor requested. So we have to include the China piece and the Spanish piece. And then, of course, the Bengali Arabic, we're trying to cover as much ground as we can.
So is that what they said, that they, like, they only had capacity for, is it three?
My knowledge, yeah.
So if a district has like really big, like bigger populations of four different languages than even we do, they're still only gonna do three? Is that their policy? Did they say that?
That's what was communicated to us, yes. And that's, okay. You know, it was a stretch. It was just, we had to strive to even get the approval to get the fourth translation capacity. And that's not being funded by DOE. We're actually gonna pay for that ourselves because they only allow for three, and Spanish and not even Chinese, but Mandarin Chinese are typically included in that. Any town hall or any speech engagement that includes a chancellor will include Spanish translation and Mandarin translation. And then anything else, you know, it's up to, they'll allow for one more, but then anything else has to be arranged. And that's what we've been striving to do.
So in any case, needless to say, I absolutely think we should use this money if we have it in our books to pay for an Arabic interpreter for this meeting. Absolutely.
How does that work as far as proposing, Gail? Like, can we propose today and vote on it today, or how would that?
Yes, we vote on it today. Right. If somebody makes a motion to allocate $259.04 toward Geneva Worldwide to provide Arabic translation for our town hall meeting.
I motion.
Thank you, Katrina. I will second that motion happily. So, show of hands. Okay, I see.
Yes.
I see Shannon. I see Jonathan. I see Danny. I see Amina. Scott and Nula. Scott's voting. Thank you. Good to see you, Scott.
What are you voting on? I'm back.
On the dinero for the translation. Nula and Deborah also approval. And Katrina, you already voiced it. Do you want to voice it again, your approval for the funding?
I approve and motion to vote on the that we pay for the translation.
Perfect, Katrina. Thank you very much. I guess Fatima, do you want to make it unanimous? Are you there, Fatima?
Yes. I said yes.
Ah, perfect. Okay, that's unanimous then. So we are unanimous in approval. So we will have Mandarin, Chinese, Spanish, Arabic, and Bengali interpretation. Thank you, Gail, for all your hard work. Thank you, Dr. Kapasa, for the Bengali translations that you've gotten. And thank you, Deb, for all the questions. Yes, Gail?
I want to thank everybody for voting for it, because I think we have to set a precedent that this is what we need. You know, and this is, we have money and it's money well spent. So I'm very proud to work for you guys, because this is a wonderful thing that you're doing for our community. So thank you.
You know, communication is essential. And Gail, have you proven anything in my time on the council is your gift of communicating for everyone, between parents, between principals, between schools, everyone. You know, you're such a proponent of that, because you see how necessary it is. And I just want to say that the council reflects that. We all know how important it is to have this communication and dialogue that we can have with each other. The more dialogue we have, the better.
Thank you, Rob. That's very kind, but thank you.
More sad news. If I don't have nothing else coming up, we're nearing our adjournment time, and I know nobody likes that. Anything else, anything you want to bring up to the council or to Dr. Kapasa before we start turning the page?
Well, I have just one question for Dr. Kapasa.
Yes, please. Yes,
for blended learning, like, is the students will get only the teacher in the class, and there is no remote teacher, like, during the days that are remote? Because, like, several schools, I heard from parents that kids, they don't get, like, half hour with the teacher during the remote days, only, like, post for, like, the work that needs to be done. So there is no teacher for them during the remote days. Is it just something temporarily or something like permanent?
No, we should never be permanent. We have to solve this. The problem being here is that the MOA, the agreement with the teachers and the Department of Education, says if I'm an in-person teacher, I do not have to work with the rest of the children who are blended remote. So I see them 1 or 2 days or 3 days a week. But when they're home, the deal was that a blended another teacher would be hired. So as you know, we can't find these teachers. So we have asked, so as I spoke about before, we're trying to do these SBO, school-based options, where teachers and principals are working together to say that one teacher, that in-live teacher, will do both, right? But it's not mandated. So it's like a negotiation that's going on now. And I can promise you that this is my stand with the chancellor, that he has to give us the teachers. That if at the end of the day, if any staff decides that they're not going to go with this school-based option, we need to get teachers for our children. That's the only fair thing to do. So we are putting up asynchronous work for our children. We've asked, we've asked some of our teachers to do it that are the in-live position. So there's a lot of negotiation going on right now, but I am to believe that we have to. This is not an option for us. Our young people deserve a teacher, you know? So the deal was that they would get two teachers, then we just have to hire these two teachers. But it also goes back to, as a parent spoke about before, we don't want to just put a body in front of our children. We want a professional pedagogue who's going to help our children grow. So we're in a tight spot, but we're not giving up. So the answer to that question is we are trying our very best, because every child deserves, and parent deserves, what we would promise them, which was that they'd have a live teacher and a blended live teacher as well. So we're working on that.
Okay, thank you, Doctor.
Yes.
So Dr. Composto, what are you missing? Are you missing live teachers in the classroom? Are you missing?
No, so that's what happened. We took all of our teachers, we put them live into our classroom. We are missing mostly remote and blended remote teachers. That's what we're missing. So our live children are taken care of. There is a teacher in every one of our classes live. But presently, our remote children, as a parent brought out tonight, or I got that in an email maybe tonight, saying that they have like 50 children in a particular remote class. That is a lot of children. But we want to make sure at this point that every child is getting instruction. So that's why we are, you know, asking our teachers to go the extra yard and take these extra children until this is all figured out. But we are feverishly looking for teachers and hiring teachers at this point. Once we get a complement of teachers, and some schools like that are getting these SBOs, so they're not needing the teachers, so things are working out a little better, we will move forward. But yes, every kid deserves a teacher, and we'll have one. And I have to apologize. It's October 13th, a school-based option. So what happened was they had an MOA, a memorandum of agreement with the teachers, which basically said, this is what the original agreement said. There would be a teacher for live, children come live. There'll be a teacher to do the blended remote, which means like, so I'm live 2 days, 3 days, I'm blended. That means I'm going on the computer, someone would be there, and then the third teacher would do the remote. So what we have found is that we haven't been able to hire enough teachers for the remote and blended remote. So we've been doubling up and doing all kinds of pieces to ensure that our children are getting something. But quality education comes with highly qualified teachers. It's all about good teachers and the right curriculum. So that's what we're trying to do right now, get the right teachers on board with us.
So this call for substitutes, what are the substitutes for?
So they're called substitutes, but they would be the teacher. They would be the partner to the, I'm a live teacher, so I've got 7 children. There are another 23 children part of my class that I see all week, right? There has to be somebody. When I'm not, the 2 days, I have them 2 days, the other 3 days, they're remote. Who's taking care of them? We need a teacher to do that. Then that teacher has to meet with me, so we are on the same page, that we are working together for each and every child. So that's what we're missing. We're missing remote teachers and blended remote. Blended remote are those children that come to school 1 or 2, 3 days a week, depending on the program of their school. And then the other days, they are remote. So that's what we're missing, those teachers, blended remote and remote teachers. All children are being seen now, but as you can hear, some of our class size is up to 40, 50. I've seen one class had 70 children in it. Remote. But still, the way I look at this, you need really close attention when you're remote. I don't know about anybody else, but you know, if you're learning ELA, which is our English, our reading, and math, those are hard subjects. Our children need one-on-one sometimes with that. So that's where we're trying to hire teachers.
Thank you, Dr. Composto.
You're welcome.
Any other questions, anybody?
So I have a question. So sure. So I was listening to what Dr. Composto and Nula was saying about the teachers having to cover the other teacher when they're doing remote learning, when they have to, in high school, oh my God, it is so chaotic that it's not even funny. So I'm on remote learning with Sanaa. I get up with her every morning and we sit in the front and I watch her get online. And I already bumped head with one of the teachers already due to the fact of some kids don't feel comfortable with having the camera on while they're doing exercise. So the kids have to mark their attendance in every day. So because she doesn't see Sanaa on the camera and she's doing the work and she's not participating in class, she marks her absence. So I said to her, why would you do that? Because I don't hear her voice. So then she says good morning. She says good morning. Now mind you, she has 30 students in her gym class that she teaches in the morning. And out of that 30 students, maybe I'm gonna say 5 have their camera on along with their mic and the other kids is not participating. And I admit, including Sanaa, I'm not taking up for her, and I try to tell her, bug, you have to get online so this lady can see you so she can stop marking you absent. But she give her a great grade. I mean, she's passing gym, but she's mad and she's marking her absent because she doesn't have on her camera.
She can't do that. She can't do that. That is illegal.
Right.
You need to go back.
So this is what I'm saying.
No, then I'll have to do that. As long as our children speak, or we get even an email from them, we count them present. They have no right to do that. So please speak to the principal if you want me to. I'm not the high school superintendent, but the principal there is very wonderful and I can talk to her. But you definitely should not be marked absent. Children do not have to show their face. We like for them to show their face because we want them to feel comfortable. But I do know that certain children do not, but they cannot be marked absent for that. So if Sanaa has been marked absent, we need to...
I'm trying to tell y'all that I hold my composure and I try my best not to get upset, you know, because I'm dealing with my own health reasons. So I politely email her, you know, why are you always marking her absent, but you
can't have
her with 80 and a 90 because I don't hear her voice and her camera's not on. She is participating. As long as she's there, what seems to be the problem?
She should say good morning, as I said before.
Day.
And then the teacher hears her voice. The teacher needs to mark her present. You need to go back and you need to speak to the principal, the guidance counselor, the AP, somebody, because that's in the regulation. The regulation is very clear. If we hear a child or even a child sends us work, we don't have to see them because sometimes parents don't have the access or students don't have the access to be seen. But as long as we hear or see their work, they ought to be marked present that day. So please speak to them. They know that. They all know that regulation.
Talk about this is in the policy, and I had to bite my tongue once again and said, okay, you know what? So I'm gonna send the principal an email in the morning, and I'm gonna let her know what's going on I truly think that it's very unfair that she keep marking Sanaa absent, and I keep saying to her that's not you. You're going about the situation wrong. That's not how you do it. As long as she's there and she's participating in your questions, she doesn't have to show her face. That's number
That's
one.
Correct.
And number two, she said good morning. And she says, I don't hear her. How you don't hear her over 30-something students? But she's saying good morning. And I'm saying to her, I'm sitting here with her every morning at 8:32.
Do me a favor. Tomorrow when she says good morning, make sure she says, this is Sanaa. Let her say her name so the teacher hears her name. Let her say her name, who she is, and let the teacher hear it. And yes, you need to email the principal and rectify this situation. But it goes back to what you talked about, Nuala, I don't know, about a couple of weeks ago at that FACE meeting, where you talked about the high school principal who told you, you know, sort of encouraging very strongly, I get it, to go remote. Because if we go remote, then we only need one teacher, and we can at least know that our children are on the right classrooms, number-wise, and have a highly qualified teacher in front of them. That's why principals are trying to ensure quality education to do this. Unless we have all of these teachers in place, it becomes difficult, especially when you come to your high school where you have a licensed science teacher, a math teacher. you know, an English teacher, even in our middle schools, and even in our elementary schools, we need highly qualified teachers. As I said before, we have these dual languages. We need three teachers for that one class who can speak the language. We need three gifted and talented teachers to make sure that they're taken care of. We need three L teachers to make sure the children are being taken care of. So you need three of everything, which is really difficult. It really is a difficult piece. So at this point, I'm hoping some of these SBOs, we worked very closely, diligently with our principals today to try to come up with some solutions, how to get these SBOs so that the teachers will, you know, take ownership of the entire class. Because I don't know if these teachers are coming, but we keep trying, and I promise you all that I'm never giving up. We're going to keep interviewing teachers, trying to find the right teachers for our children. But we're not just going to take anybody that, you know, comes in. We got to get the right teachers. We have to. You know, we have a great district, and we've done a lot of great things, and I'm not willing to let it slide back. So we're working hard, and I have to once again commend all of our staff, our teachers, and our principals who are working together trying to figure this out.
Thanks, Dr. C. We have Juliana's raising her hand again. She's our FACE liaison. Juliana, are you there?
Sorry, I have a couple steps to unmute myself. Okay. Thank you, Rob. I just wanted to invite Katrina to, since it's not Superintendent Compostro's district and school, I just wanted to invite you to copy me into that correspondence, Katrina.
Thank you, Julianne. You got that, Katrina?
Copy you into what, Ms. Julianne?
The email you send the principal. But I'm comfortable. The principal's going to help you. You know you work with her well. She'll take care of this. It's just misinformation on that card.
Yes, I'm most definitely, Ms. Julianne. I will most definitely
just CC her.
You into the email. With the principal. I mean, because me and her work well together, that we do.
Yes.
From the beginning, me and her, I've never bumped heads with her. And anytime I came to her about something, she most definitely looked into the situation, or she got me in touch with the AP and they handled the situation, just like when this whole remote learning had started and the kids was coming on and they were playing music and they was being disrespectful and, you know, they was saying nasty and rude things. I emailed her right away with the student's name, and she took care of the situations and alerted their parent. And then we didn't have that issue anymore. So I will most definitely, tomorrow when I send her the email, I will most definitely have you a part of that email and mention you in it, and, you know, whatever the case may be, so we can talk to her. And I know for a fact that she's going to say something to the gym teacher, because what she's doing is unfair. I mean, and it's like she's just singling out Sanaa, and she's not, you know, she's not saying anything to anybody else, but she's participating and she's passing her class, but you're steady marking her absent. And I just don't get it. I really don't. And I think it's very unfair.
Thanks, Katrina.
You're welcome.
Rob?
Yes.
Can I do a shout out to our principals and parent coordinators, please?
Please do. Yes.
Because that questionnaire, out of our 40 schools, 34 schools responded. That's 85%. I think that's pretty outstanding for a survey like this. And we had 79 responses in Spanish. So I think you guys, first of all, that questionnaire, it was very successful, but our principals and our parent coordinators, they made sure that it got out there. So I just think,
and
Dr. Compostro, let them know how great they are, please.
And Gail, who didn't even list a school?
134.
So we might have had full compliance. We don't even know.
That's true. That's right. It was pretty impressive, if you ask me.
Best PTA, best principals and parents coordinators in the country or the state? Or
in the world. We have the best in the world.
That is totally awesome. Congratulations to the principals, the parent coordinators. Give all great shout outs to all of them. And let me ask a question. So Deb, Dr. Campasto, and Robert, and Gail, are we entitled now to send an email to our principals to find out how things are going on in school?
Anytime you'd like. Sure, definitely. You know, you're always welcome to email the principals, you know, in a cooperative manner to try to help out, of course. Yes. And encourage everybody.
I think the question was in reference to, at the last meeting, Dr. Campasto had said that it might be good for us to wait a couple weeks until they get settled before we reach to our liaison.
Yeah, yes.
Well, not to tinker, but to offer our help. That's what I meant.
Listen, you're always welcome to talk to our principals. Are we settled yet? We're still trying to hire teachers. So we're not settled. But if you want to, I'm sure they'll welcome you whenever you call them or go. It's okay.
Because I happened to see the email that, I don't know if Gail sent it out or somebody sent it out, from my principal at 166, and I do believe that she was sitting there with the chancellor. So I just wanted to know if I can reach out and see how did that go, and you know.
She would love to hear you, Miss Geller would love to hear you. She was very excited of the visit with the chancellor. Go right ahead and call her.
Okay, great. Because I wanted to reach out to her and Ms. Dannon, and I just wanted to see how things was going. Even though you said just give them some time, but I wanted to confirm with the four of y'all first before I reached out to them.
Yeah, feel free.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Time's moving fast. Our next meeting will be 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. Is that possible? It'll be a week after the election? Is that what? No way. Time's moving fast. Anything else anyone wants to bring up to the council?
Yes.
Oh, I have a question.
Please. Yes.
For the middle school, I have my son is blended home and go to school. The roles, like if he's like going to school, he's supposed to be like, let's say from 8 until the last period of the classes. But for my son, he's doing only half, and he has to do the rest from the, let's see, 3 period at home. He has to leave school at 11 to get home by 12 to start the next class with the teacher.
Where does he go, to IS-10?
No, it's not the little one. It's LaGuardia College.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't know that was going on in our district. Thank goodness, yes. Not mine. No,
no,
you have to...
Go ahead, Dr. Campos.
No, I'm going to say you need to call over to the college and see what's going on. So what's happening is this, especially, and that's why that high school principal had said they want everybody to go to remote. We have some teachers that are highly qualified. So they're at home. They were on an accommodation, meaning that they filled out a form and said that they can't go to work for whatever health reasons they have.
Okay.
But that's the teacher that has the license. That's the teacher that has the credentials that we need. So I can see a college saying, go home and then listen to this teacher remotely because he or she has the credentials. So that's what I don't know. You need to call the college. But I know that's what's going on throughout the city, matter of fact, I was watching the news last week, and a young lady, it was a high school in Brooklyn, and she said that she had all 8 periods in the auditorium. The teachers were coming into her. All of her teachers were remotely. So she was coming to school, but the teachers were remote. So they had them in the auditorium learning. So these are things that are happening. We're in a whole unprecedented situation here, and lots of different things out of the box are happening. For me, it's just to ensure that the kids are getting quality education. I'm gonna keep going back. It's October 13th. By this time, we're rocking and rolling here. We're just still trying to figure out what we're doing with this teacher piece. So I definitely think, Amina, you should call the college and see what's going on, but I have a feeling that teacher who's highly qualified is home, and they just figured it'd be easy for your son to go home and to do it. But call the college. Call over and ask a question. You have a right.
Yeah, because when we was having this conversation, and they said to myself, the little one, when he got to ISN, he's from there from 8:30 to 2:00. And right. My oldest one, he leave home at 7:00 to be there at 8:00. And he's coming home like 11:45 to get ready for next period. Yeah. And I said, when we have the meeting, I will ask. But He has three periods, like science, math, and the science language. He's doing it on the computer at home.
I'm sure the teachers are remote. That's what's going on. A lot of our teachers, that's the other piece of the puzzle. A lot of our teachers got these accommodations that they can work from home. So that's probably what it is, but I still say you need to speak to the college because they would know better than me.
I would call them tomorrow to find out.
That's the right thing to do.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, last question, Dr. Composo, for me. There is a family that they have triplets, and those triplets, they don't have iPad. And they've been requesting for iPad for over time, and they are for blended. So the days that they go to school, they can follow the instruction, all of that. But the days that are home, they do nothing.
Nothing.
They said to me that they request for iPad, and they also spoke to the parent coordinator, which is they do also another request. And so far, they still did not get any iPads for their children to work. So is there any other way to make it like urgently? Because there is three boys that are first grade and none of them like able to work from home during the day.
They don't even have one. Do me a favor, send me an email with their name, their school, and let me look into it and the information for the parent, and I'll get back to them to what we can do. At least one, we got to get them. Maybe, you know, the whole thing is sometimes the schools are empty, but children have been bringing them back. I have to thank our parents and our children who have come back to the schools and said, you know, he moved on, or we're moving out of the state, and here's the device. So some people have been really wonderful with that. So let me see what I can do. So you'll send me all the information, and I will speak to the principal, see what we can do, and then we'll get back to the parent and let them know.
Okay, thank you so much.
Of course, let me know.
You mentioned, Dr. Crosso, about, you know, usually by now we're rocking and rolling, and it seems like this is an extended getting to know you period, and in the next 2 weeks, the balance is going to change again between blended and remote learning. Is there going to be a climate of remedialness in our students, you think, towards the end of the year, where everyone has to catch up to where they would have been or should have been or could have been? Because we're still figuring it out, and it's already
right.
November.
If I'm losing sleep, it's because of this whole fact. But one of the things that we've done here is we bought into this learning gap plan, which means we're going to try to assess every single child, figure out where they are, where their gap is, and then fill it, you know? But it is concerning. It is concerning that time is just going by and, you know, we're not grounded where we need to be. We're getting better. We're getting more teachers every day. We're getting better, more teachers every day. These SBOs are happening, but we're not where we need to be 100%. No.
So I know this might be early, but has the DOE considered next summer offering summer school to every kid in a remote fashion so that every kid can kind of catch up if the parent thinks that they're not where they should be?
I like that idea. No, we haven't had that discussion yet. We're still trying to get this year going, but I like it. I like it. Let's go back. Let's revisit that.
Yeah, we talked about this last summer, the idea that the DOE could just offer online first grade and offer online second grade and offer online third grade. And we could have great teachers, and they would have, and everyone could log in at 10 o'clock. You log in for first grade here, log in second grade here. Maybe we should talk about that now to get it ready for the summer. Because kids are going to miss some things.
Right. So I think one of the things we'll do with Juliana is start to bring it up so we can go through that whole channel of you know, this is the request of the CEC, which is a very fair, smart request. We'll put it through. I like the idea of starting now. Not a problem.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Quasso, again, and Nula. Any other questions? Comments? Concerns? Our next big shindig is October 22nd. At 6 p.m., actually at 5:30 for us. The next phase of the balance changing between blended to remote or vice versa is coming up as well. So we'll see what happens between now and then, how it looks like for our principals and our schools. And in the next few weeks. But anyone have any topics? Because again, I just wanna, 820. Sure. Yes, Dr. C.
I just want to quickly ask Juliana. Is she still out there? Juliana, are you out there?
She is. I may have to unmute her. Dr. Capasso has a question for you.
She out there?
Otherwise, yes, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can email you in the morning. You had originally had asked me to give you a list of all the people in my office who want to be a part of the October 22nd. Are we up to that yet? Because you haven't asked me, and I want to make sure that they're all there as well.
That would be very helpful, because I'll give their email addresses along with the CEC members' email addresses, and then everybody will be brought on automatically as a panelist.
So you want me to send that to you?
Please do. Yes.
Oh, you got it.
I can email you as a reminder if you want me to.
That's good. Otherwise, I'm writing it down, not to worry.
Okay.
And I'll send it to you, right?
Yes. Yes. Thank you very much for that. And I wrote down Nula's idea as well.
Good. Good. It's a good idea.
Thanks.
Dr. Composto, all of your staff should feel free to join at 5:30 as well for mic checks.
Not a problem. I just want to make sure they all get invited. So I'm going to send you the emails tomorrow. Not a problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Dr. Composto, normally, you know, this time of year we do a thank you for PTA, and we do it somewhere along the way. We do a thank you for parent coordinators. And I think parent coordinators are really unsung heroes here, because now that we're remote, the parent coordinator is more important than ever, because they're the connection, especially if a remote student. What would be the best way to thank them for their service?
So this is Principal Month. I don't know if you all know that, but this is National Principal Month. So I meeting with our principals today, we did a nice video for them, thanking them and showing some of the highlights of the great days that we've had. In addition, we are making a certificate for them, and I bought them a book, which we will use as our book study, and we're going to give it to them. So the same idea, you know, we're in different times. We've got to think out of the box. So a certificate, a Zoom meeting, whatever you decide on, I think whatever you do, people appreciate being thanked, because they are working overtime, and certainly our parent coordinators have been wonderful in this. I met with them 3 times last week about the elections. You know, we're trying to figure out this elections for our parents. That's the next thing coming at us, that we got to finish these elections, because we must finish these elections as soon as possible. So then parents can decide who's on our SLT, and the staff can decide who their part is, and we can get these SLT moving as well too, because we've stalled on that, you know, right? Our school leadership teams are waiting for our parents to be elected, because half have to be parents and half have to be staff. So I think that once we get that moving, we can certainly, anything you do to recognize the greatness of these wonderful people, I think they would appreciate. Like I said, we're sending a certificate and a book, and the 4 or 5 people in my office, we've made our decision that we're going to go and visit each one of these schools and give the certificate and the book to the principal ourselves. So we just got to think differently. We just have to think differently.
So Gail, maybe be as simple as if each member, I think we cover every school, maybe if each member would agree to just send the parent coordinator each school just a little thank you note.
That sounds wonderful.
And I were talking about the PA-PTA presidents at one point, because in September we always have the installation ceremony. Mm-hmm. Obviously we weren't able to do it. So we were thinking, do you remember how we honored the students, you know, with the PowerPoint that showed a certificate with everybody's name, and the certificates were sent to the school to print out? We were thinking of doing a similar thing once the PTAs are elected and we know who's now on their executive boards, of doing a similar activity to that, where at the meeting we would do the PowerPoint honoring our elected officers for the PA-PTAs, and then I would send a certificate to email a certificate to each school and ask them to print it out on our behalf.
Sounds good.
Yes.
I haven't worked out the details yet, but we'll get to it.
So I would just ask the other members of the CEC, if you guys want to, you know, we could either do our
already chosen schools, or we could do different schools. And just a little note to each one saying we appreciate all the hard work, because it really is a lot of work for these parent coordinators.
Yes.
Because they're getting so many questions.
Nuala, would you like to create a template email for them? Might help a little.
Sure, yeah, I can do a draft and I'd be happy. I mean, I know all the ones on the east side of the BQE, but I don't know the parent coordinators so much on the west side of the BQE.
If you do just a draft of the language, then we can fill in the schools. But that's a great idea. I love it.
Okay, I'll do it tonight and send it out to you guys.
Cool.
All right. And just let me know who's, everyone, just let me know what schools you want the parent coordinator information for, and I will pass that on quickly.
We also, I don't know how updated our parent coordinator list is, but we had a parent coordinator list on our website. I don't know if that's been updated.
That's a good point. I'll add that to my notes.
But yeah, maybe it's a good time to update it.
Yep, that and some other things as well. So I will. I'll look at that and send something out about us updating different pages there.
Just please give me a little time to update everything to send to him. Okay.
Or each one of us with their list, like they can update it and send it back to you, Gail, so it make it easier a little bit.
Yeah. Well, the PC list is easiest if I update it. So it's I actually have it updated, I believe, now, and I can send that over to Bill tomorrow.
Please also note that our work always, as public school educators and members of this distinguished profession.
All right. Thanks for the homework, Jonathan and Nuala. Anything else? So we're going to consider our adjournment soon. Going once, twice, thrice.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Don't go back so quickly, Deb. Oh, my God.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Gail. Thank you, Doc. Thank you, Juliana. Thank you, Council.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, participants.
Thank you.
Everybody, see you next week. Stay safe.
Yes.
Yep. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Stay well.
Stay well.
Yes.
Have a good day.
Stay well.
Have a good one.
See you guys soon.
See ya. Take care.